Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Because it's that time of the service when we're going to come around God's word. And I'm excited because whenever we come around God's word, God is going to speak to our lives. And I'm excited about that. And so at the start of the week, I prayed and said, God, what do you really want to speak about this, on this Sunday? And God brought to mind and laid on my heart the two chapters in Genesis, chapter 18 and 19, and to focus on a verse, a very interesting verse. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. And this is the verse. And so we're going to look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 says this. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Wow. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that what I am about to do? And the title that I want to look at this morning is The Reason for the Revelation. And, you know, Genesis chapter 18 and 19 is about God sharing a revelation to Abraham. But not just him sharing a revelation to Abraham, but God giving Abraham a reason for the revelation. And so Abraham didn't just get to know what God was doing, but Abraham also got to know what God was like. And I'm really praying this morning that you're going to receive a revelation for your life, for your family, for your future, and that we don't just get to know what God, who God is, but we get to know what and who God is, what God is like. And so I'm really praying for us this morning as we look at this subject. You know, revelation's important. In the early 90s, one time I always remember I was walking with my friends in Nottingham and I saw a crowd gathered around a poster. The poster, for me, when I looked at it, it was just blank. It was just a piece of paper with that just looked fuzzy. And I watched and people looked at this poster and all of a sudden they had a big smile on their face and laughing with their friends. And so I thought, wow, this is strange. So I went and stood and I looked at this poster with no picture. But then I stood there a while and all of a sudden I stood there long enough. I had a revelation of this. The Empire State Building came out of the poster. And all of a sudden, that which I couldn't see, all of a sudden, I began to see. Why? Because I had a revelation of what God, of the picture. And, you know, in this story, Abraham gets a revelation of what God was going to do. Quite a challenging revelation when we look at it. And, you know, I believe as men and women of God, as God didn't want to hide his purposes from Abraham, God doesn't want to hide his purposes from us. And God this morning wants to give us as people of God and as a church revelation so that we can help people in our community and not just to get to know who God is, but also what God is like and why God works the way that he does. And that really helps us mature in our faith. And so, you know, revelation really helps, but also that we know the reason for the revelation. Because when I read the Bible, I believe this, that when we get the reason of God and we get the revelation of God, we see the transformation of God. And so God didn't want to hide his purposes and who he was from Abraham. And so he shared the reason for the revelation, which then brought transformation. And I think this is a fascinating subject for all of our lives. And so I'm really believing God is going to speak to us as we look at the reason for the revelation. And so as men and women of God, we don't just know who God is, but we actually know who and what God is like. Because, you know, we read a Bible, which is the book of God, the Christian God, and it's a book of revelation. And that's why I'm always excited, because you can read the Bible a bit like me looking at that 3D puzzle, and you think, well, this isn't really making much sense. And then all of a sudden you get a revelation, you go bang, and all of a sudden God starts speaking to your life. And so we need that. And we really need a depth in the Christian faith, that we're people of revelation, but also we know the mind of God, the thinking of God, but also we know the heart of God. And the wonderful thing about Genesis chapter 18 and 19 is that Abraham doesn't just get to know the actions of God, but God reveals to him his heart and the heart behind the Lord's actions. And so these are the three points that we're going to look at. And so we've got three points, and then we're going to pray at the end. So whether you're still in your pajamas, that's good. Whether you've never heard an online church service before, well, welcome. You're very welcome to join us this morning. Or maybe you used to belong to a church or go to church or have a faith. You're so welcome to be listening to this sermon this morning. And so the first point of this story is we've got to understand the revelation. And Abraham gets to know what God's going to do. And it's quite challenging. But then what makes it powerful, to get the reason for the revelation, he gets some understanding of God's heart on the situation. And we as men and women of God, or whether you're new to faith, it's always good to know not just what God does, but who and what God is like and God's heart. And in Genesis chapter 18, the reason for God to act is that a cry had reached heaven. The Bible said that an outcry had reached heaven. Wow, just think about that a cry had reached heaven. And we could associate this cry to many things in this story, but one of the cries that I believe God would have heard was the cry of injustice, the cry of the innocent, the cry of people suffering affliction and violence, because there was a city in this chapter, in chapter 19, that was full of wickedness, it was full of sin, it was full of really bad things, which would have mean a lot of people, a lot of innocent people, including children, were suffering, and the outcry had reached God. And can I just ask you a question? Have you ever cried out in any situation in your life? Well, if you know me, I enjoy playing football, and I'm now retired. I retired at 35 because I got too old, a little bit too slow, but life got very busy. But I can remember playing probably about 10, 15 years ago, playing football, and one of my players, one of the centre forwards, went forward on goal, and he was about to score, and this defender just fouled him really bad. And it was a blatant penalty. It was clear as anything. It was a penalty. And I couldn't believe it, that the referee, and I know they have a difficult job, but the referee did not give a penalty. And all of a sudden, I had this huge wave and cry of injustice that came out. I said, this is just wrong. I can't believe something's happened and you've just ignoring it. You've just not seen it, or you don't understand it, that this was a penalty. It should be a penalty, yet you've not acted. And the amazing thing is that when the Bible says the cry of the people reached God, the cry of the innocent reached God. And that's when that happens in Scripture, God comes to act and move, because our God is a God of justice and of love, and will fight and stick up for those people who have suffered injustice and affliction in their lives. You know, in this verse, this is not the first time in the Bible or the last time we hear a cry reaching heaven. In Exodus chapter 3, we hear those famous words, which was the whole reason why God had to call Moses in the first place and for God to work his wonders, that God says this, is that a cry of pain, a cry of injustice, a cry of a generation has reached me. And God says to Moses, I have heard their cries and I have seen their misery. And so I am going to come down and I am going to rescue them. In other words, when God hears a cry of injustice, he gets to work. He gets to work when he hears a cry of injustice. Also in Genesis chapter 4, we read another story about that Cain kills his brother Abel. And God goes and confronts Cain about it. And Cain says to God, how do you know about this? And we get this amazing revelation, understanding about God. God says that the blood of the innocent, of your innocent brother, it's got a voice. It cries out for me. And so we get this amazing thing that God listens to cries. And so we understand not just what God does, but what he's like. And God gets moved, because he's a loving God, but he gets moved by the cries of the innocent. There's an amazing verse in Psalm 9, that says this: he does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Wow. This is our God, church. God does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Oh, I believe this is why the reason why the church exists today and is in our society, is in our community, because God does not forget the cry of the afflicted. And so I really want to be encouraged. I really want to encourage you this morning that if you suffered violence, have you suffered injustice? Have you been afflicted in many different ways? Has it caused you to cry out? Well, I'm really believing this morning that God wants to say that he has not forgotten about those cries. And also in the Bible, it says that the Lord will restore the years that the locust has eaten. And maybe for you, that kind of explains that maybe your past has been difficult. People stolen things from you, which has made your life a bit messy. Well, you know, God has not forgotten your cry. And God, I'm going to prophesy, is going to work over your life today, that he's going to restore that which was lost. And so really the first point is understanding the revelation, because the revelation was about what God was going to do. But the heart was that it was because we serve a God of justice. And because we serve a God of justice, sometimes in the Bible, God becomes a God of vengeance. He is merciful as well. But the only times God is a God of vengeance is because he is a God of justice, and he has a heart and gets moved by the cry of the afflicted. And so Abraham understood not just what God was doing, but understood the reasons why, and why God was moved in such a way, because a cry had reached heaven. And so that's my first point. The second point that I want to talk about is the response of the revelation. And so Abraham gets an understanding of who God is and what God's like and what God's thinking about in his heart. But then Abraham responds in a powerful way, which I believe we can learn from. So, you know, in this story, Abraham is talking to God, and Abraham has a wonderful response. Abraham says to God, because it's talking about a terrible city with lots of different challenges. And Abraham says, God, if there's 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? And God said, out of all this huge city, if there's only 50 people, I will spare it. Wow. We get this wonderful picture of Abraham's heart. And also we get this wonderful picture of God's heart. Then Abraham said, excuse me, God, but if there's 45 people, would you still spare this city? God says, yes, I would. Then Abraham goes to 30. Then he goes to 20. And then he even says to God, he says, God, even if out of this huge city, if there's 10 people that you can find goodness in, if there's 10 people you can find goodness in, would you spare the city? And God says, yes, I would spare this city. And we get this huge, great dialogue between God and Abraham, which really got me thinking that is that the cry of the world, or the cry of the innocent, should always be followed by the cry of the church. You see, what is Abraham doing? Abraham's interceding for the city, is interceding for those people who may have been afflicted, who are carrying goodness. He knows there's not a lot of bad stuff in the city, but he's trying to pray that goodness would be found. And that should be like our lives today, is that the cry of the innocent should always be followed by the cry of the church, that we as a church stand united as New Horizon Church, that we want to intercede for those people who are suffering affliction. Maybe you're suffering affliction today. I want to say, God loves you. I love you. Hang on in there. We are here for you. And Abraham is praying and he's interceding for the city. Because if God's a God of justice, Abraham wanted to be a person of justice. And if God's still a God of justice, which he is, we need to be people of justice, which is really important to us as New Horizon Church. You know, we should be helping those people. And I know we're brilliant at this church, but I just want, maybe God wants to remind us, we need to be serving and helping those people who have suffered injustice and who have been afflicted with this. You know, we need to be the voice of the voiceless in our community, in our world today. There's a lot of people who suffered who have no voice. God wants us to be their voice if they have no voice. God wants us to feed the orphans and the widow. We need to take tender care of those people who are vulnerable, who've been marginalised, like Abraham was wanting to intercede and bring hope and bring restoration and peace. Also, we need to make sure, church, that we associate with people in low positions and associate with people in very difficult circumstances, because we know that the cry of the innocent, the cry of the afflicted reaches heaven, and we need to be a church that intercedes for our nation and our people. Right now, a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people are crying. We need to intercede that goodness will be found and that God's healing will break forth right now as a nation. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, God speaks about in some important words, and they're really important for us, church. And it says this, he says, O mortal, I have shown you what to do. He says this, he says, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? In other words, this is what God requires of you if you're a follower of him, or even if you're just watching this and you don't really not a Christian. This is still good advice. He says to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. And so because God is a God of justice, we should be a people of justice too. And so that we, how Abraham responded to the revelation was to intercede, to pray, to be concerned. That's how we should be. We should respond in prayer and having a concern that justice will flow in our land, in our community, and that we are there for people who have suffered affliction and injustice in their lives. And then the last point on this subject of the reason for the revelation. So we've looked at, we understand God's heart, we understand his heart. We know that our response, like Abraham's response, with intercession, prayer, and for concern. And then the last point is the action from the revelation. There was an action that needed to take place from the revelation. So we know God's heart. Abraham had responded, but then there was a person that needed to act, and his name was Lot. And Lot was in the city where a lot of bad things were happening in the city. And there was an action that Lot had to do once he had received the revelation. About 15 years ago, I was driving my car on the M1 between junction, 27 and 28. As I was driving in front of me, sadly, there was an accident. And it was probably about three cars away from me. And then all of a sudden, I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw cars all crashing into them, which we call a pileup. And for some reason, it could have been coincidence, but I believe it was the hand of God. I looked to my left and I just saw a gap, a window, just a gap in the traffic, just a window of opportunity. And I saw it, and all around me, people were crashing into one another. And I saw it, and I somehow got the car, went through the gap in the traffic, and escaped, had this miraculous escape. And I just looked back and saw all of the dust and all of the commotion of this huge pileup. And I felt like I'd escaped, that God had given me a window of opportunity that I had to act upon to get out of that situation. And you know, sometimes in life we need a way out. And the good news is, church, is that in this story, Lot needed a way out. And the amazing story is that God provided a way out, but Lot still had to act on the revelation and be obedient to take up the opportunity that God had presented to him. And so, you know, sometimes we need a way out. A few months ago, I was watching Football Focus. Like I said, I enjoy football, and just watching this incredibly sad story of this young man. The programme was talking about destructive behaviours with young men and with gambling. And unfortunately, this young guy, similar to my age, had got so much in debt that he took his own life. And it moved me greatly. And what moved me the most is he wrote on his letter to his parents, this young guy, well, fit and healthy. And he wrote to his parents. And one of the reasons he sadly took his life, he said, I don't have any way out. And he wrote that there is no way out for me. And that really broke my heart watching that, because my Bible says that with God, there is always a way out. That if God can make a way out for Lot, who is in a lot of trouble, God can make a way out for you. Because it says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, it says, the angel led them safely. The angel led Lot and his family safely out of the city because the Lord was merciful to them and to Lot. And wow, the reason why my God can make a way, because our God is merciful. And if God can be merciful to Lot, he can be merciful to you. If God can be merciful and lead Lot out of an incredibly destructive city with lots of sin, lots of vice, lots of violence, then he can give you a way out of your situation, which is wonderful. And we get a great reading also in chapter 19, in verse 29, it says, so God brought Lot out of the catastrophe. Wow. Right now, we're facing a difficult situation, this pandemic. Some people may call it a catastrophe. Well, the good news, the Bible says that God brought Lot out of the catastrophe. And I believe God, because he's merciful, will lead us through any catastrophe we find ourselves in. Right now, you might say, yes, Andy, that resembles my life. Maybe it's a catastrophe. Maybe your relationships are a catastrophe. Maybe your finance is a catastrophe. Maybe the memories of your past is a catastrophe. Maybe when you look to the future, all you see is a catastrophe. Well, guess what? God can bring you. And if he brought Lot out of the catastrophe, God can bring you out of the catastrophe that you're facing right now. And I really believe that you're greatly encouraged. And God brought Lot out of a catastrophe, but you know, Lot had to he had to take his opportunity and act from the revelation. He had a revelation about the city, but he had to act and be obedient and take up the opportunity that was in front of him for God to bring him out of the catastrophe. Well, how do we do that in our lives? Well, the great news in the gospel in all of the gospels, Jesus says these words, Jesus Christ, not just a man of history. We believe as Christians that Jesus was, he is a man of history, but he was God. And he says this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And only through him and through him alone will God lead us as we follow Jesus, as we follow his example, as we follow how to live like Jesus lived in the Bible. As we trust Jesus with our lives, God will lead us. He will lead us out of a bad situation and give us a great future. I know this is in Psalm 23. It's a famous psalm about God being our shepherd. And he says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. And you know, we get two wonderful promises there. If we put Jesus as the way and we follow his way, his example, then he will lead us. And when God is our leader, guess what? Our lives changed. God leads us to a better place. We will lie down in green pastures. Maybe you're living in barren pastures. Maybe you're living in deserted pastures. Maybe you're living in poverty pastures. I believe God, he wants to lead you beside green pastures and beside still waters. Maybe your waters are roaring. Maybe you've got fearful waters. Maybe you've got choppy waters. Maybe you've got uncertain waters. But do you know what? When we follow God and say Jesus is the way, God will lead us beside quiet waters. Speaking of peace, speaking of life, speaking of goodness in our lives. And we know in Genesis about the story of Noah and his ark and how Noah's family was saved through the ark. And it's similar to Jesus in a way. And you might find this interesting that Jesus, when we come to Jesus, he's like the ark. Is that when Noah and his family went into the ark protected everybody inside from what was going off outside. And that's like when we come to Jesus and we find salvation and we come to Jesus. Jesus will protect us. He'll preserve our life and give us a great future, both now but also in heaven for all eternity. And so I really want you to be encouraged that there's an action of the revelation. And so maybe God's saying he wants you to act. Maybe, I don't know what that action is for your life. Maybe it might be, do you know what? I've got to come to God. Maybe you're watching this and said, I've tried everything else. I've tried drugs, drink, up all night, doing whatever you want to do. I've tried earning money. I don't get satisfied. I've tried worshipping my career and it only makes me feel empty. Maybe you're finding the world right now very confusing and you might want to say, God, I want to, maybe you're giving me an opportunity to come to you. Or maybe you're doing bad stuff. Maybe you know if you're really honest and really look inside yourself that you're doing things that you know are not good. And you're like those people in that city. And I want to really encourage you that the opportunity that God has, it's just a window of opportunity. It's not, the Bible says, this window of salvation, this opportunity is not going to be here forever. And that's challenging, but I really want to share this with you, that the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You know, if Lot would have said, well, yeah, I'll come out of the city, but I'm not coming out now, it would have been too late. And I don't want it to be too late for you. And so just, that's not to put you under any pressure. Just really want to be honest with you that right now you've got a great opportunity to receive God, that today is the day of salvation. And so maybe for you, the action is you need to stop doing stuff and you need to start listening to God. Maybe you've inflicted pain on people. And maybe you've done a lot of injustice in your life. Can I just encourage you graciously? Stop doing it, because the worst thing that can happen to you, in not in a good way, is God to be on your case, because you know, God really gets angry with injustice. But remember, God will forgive you if you turn to him. And so maybe you need to do that today. Or maybe for us as Christians, we just need to say, well, we've been fretting and worrying, and maybe we just need to have faith that God will bring us through any catastrophe like Lot, because our God is merciful. And so that is a really important example there of how Lot had to bring action to the revelation. And be encouraged, our God is merciful, and that's why God brought Lot out. And God wants to be merciful to you today. And if you come to God, God forgives you. And if God's forgiven you, and I feel this may be a word for some people, you've got to forgive yourself. And sometimes God forgives us and then we don't forgive ourselves. And so we never feel that freedom that God brings, or the joy of salvation, because we're still worrying and anxious and et up, that we look in the mirror and we still see ourselves as failures and of tainted people. But God wants to say to you today, forgive yourself, because God has forgiven you. Come on, stop beating yourself up about yesterday. Don't drag yesterday into today. Yesterday was gone. God's forgiven you. And the amazing thing that the Bible says, that when God forgives, he also forgets. And so that's my sermon really this morning, is the reason for the revelation. That God didn't want to hide what he was wanting to do, but also his heart from Abraham. And so he included Abraham, not just with a revelation, but with the reason. So Abraham didn't just know what God was going to do, but also Abraham got to know what God was like. And as a church, we really need to make sure that we know what God's going to do, but also what and who is God like. And I'm really praying that that will bless you, and so that we understand, with the understanding from the revelation, that the cry of the of innocence and affliction reaches heaven. Wow, that's that we get some understanding. That's what got God to work. The first one, the second one was the response of Abraham, the response of the revelation, that it caused Abraham to intercede for the city. And that's what we should do in our lives. And then the action of the response, that God gave Lot a window of opportunity to find freedom. And if we accept Jesus now and come to him, then, hey, God will lead us into a new place, and he can lead us out from a bad place into a lot better place, and with a hope and a future for all eternity. So now I'm just going to finish in prayer. Thanks for listening to this sermon. I really hope it's blessed your heart, because always remember, when you get reason for the revelation, you get transformation. And so I'm believing that God's going to give you a reason. He's going to give you a revelation. The reason, because we understand God's heart. The reason of revelation, we understand what God wants to do. And then we see transformation of those two things combining, and that we'll see transformation in people's lives. And so now we're going to come to pray. And if you've been listening and you're just thinking, Pastor Andy, I'm not a Christian and I would like to be a Christian. Or maybe you've listened and you're a prodigal son and daughter, and you're saying, do you know what? I want to become a Christian today. Or I'm going to return to God today. Well, right now, I want to give you opportunity. If God's not talking to you and you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. But it's my job as a pastor to give you this opportunity. So if you want to become a Christian or you want to return right now, repeat this prayer with me, this short prayer. Say it loud from your heart, and I believe God is going to hear you right now. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come and live in my heart and in my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. I'm really believing that if you've prayed that right now, congratulations. The Bible says that you are a Christian and that I'm excited that you are going to follow Jesus, his ways, his example, his word, and he's going to lead you to a wonderful future, both now and for all eternity. If you've been listening to this and you've made decisions or it's made you think, can I just encourage you that, God willing, when this season's over and we're returning, we can gather physically as a church. Come to New Horizon Church. I would love to see you. Come and speak to me and my wife, Becky. And we'd love to hang out with you, chill out. Or if you want to just come and sit on the back row, that's absolutely fine. But I just want to say that you are so welcome to come to New Horizon Church in your life with your family or your friends or by yourself. I'd love to see you.
Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.